Hey, this is old Pastor Jim with the Semi-Seminary and a gospel transmission coming through the barbed wire fence of midnight. For the ones too tired to pretend, too broke to tithe, and too stubborn to quit believing altogether. Tonight, we ain't preaching at you. We're all sitting together with a song. It's not a hymn, but you know what? It might be holier than most. It's an outlaw's gospel. And the question at the heart of it all, what if your first prayer don't sound like Our Father, but more like, you don't owe me nothing, Lord, and I don't owe nothing to you? Is that still a prayer? Stick around. We're about to find out. This is Tom Ames Prayer, and Grace is listening. Even now. I'll see you on the other side. So it's late, the coffee's half warm, and the only light in the room is flickering through the static of an old radio dial. If you're still up, still listening, then maybe this story's for you. Tonight we're sitting with a ballad that ain't afraid of the dark, a song that wanders right up to the gallows and whispers grace through grit. We're talking about Tom Ames' prayer, but don't let the title fool you. This is no tidy bedtime prayer. This is a showdown with the Almighty from a man who's never said grace in his life. And the real question that we're wrestling with tonight, what counts as prayer? And when do we really start praying? And before we get too pious, let's remember, there's another man in Scripture who prayed like this, a father, with nothing left but a desperate plea. In Matthew chapter 17 or Mark 9, depending on which lens you're holding, a man brings his convulsing boy to Jesus and says, Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. No flourish, no formula, just a raw, shaky cry from the edge of hope. And you know what? Tom's prayer ain't far from that. It's doubt and belief sitting side by side in the dirt, both hoping God still listens. So let's take a look at it. Verse 1. Everyone in Nacogdoches knew Tom Ames would come to some bad end. Well, the sheriff caught him stealing chickens and such by the time that he was 10. Tom's whole life gets summed up in a small town obituary before he's even old enough to vote. He's a kid with a reputation, branded early. And when you are seen as trouble, you often become what folks expect. Theologically, this is original sin through the lens of rural sociology. He didn't have a shot, and the world told him so. In fact, it echoes Nathanael's cynicism in John 1:46. Can anything good come from Nazareth? The answer then was Jesus. The answer now? Maybe grace. Second verse. And one day, his daddy took a $10 bill and he tucked it in his hand. He said, I can tell you're headed for trouble, son, and your mama wouldn't understand. This isn't an intervention, it's resignation. His daddy ain't evil, he's just out of hope. $10 and a goodbye handed off like a benediction in reverse. That's $10 worth of currency as surrender. Symbolically, it almost feels like Judas silver, except this one's not for betrayal, but it's the price of giving up on someone you love. So he took that money in his brother's old bay and he left without a word of thanks, fell in with a crowd in some border town, took to robbing banks. Tom doesn't go off in a blaze of drama, he just leaves quietly. Like most folks who disappear, he does so slowly and with good reason. What follows is what follows when someone's told their life doesn't count. He found the people who said he did, even if it was just for what he could steal. This is sociology as theology, which is just a fancy way of saying sometimes folks ain't sinning, they're surviving. When the only folks who'll take you in are outside the law, then running with outlaws starts to feel more like family than felons. Now, it doesn't excuse it, but it sure helps explain it. And that kind of grace, that understands the why before the what. And you know what? That's gospel. Verse 4, outside the law, your luck will run out fast till he's trapped in an abilene with all but four shells spent. This is Tom's reckoning. This is his Gethsemane. No backup, no tricks left. Just a man, a pistol, and the sky. Grace shows up more clearly in alleys like these when the hustle fails and all that's left is a whisper of a prayer. And then he realized praying was the only thing he hadn't ever tried. Well, he wasn't quite sure he knew how, but he looked up to the sky. It ain't polished. It ain't pretty. But you know what? It is prayer. And I'll tell you what, there's a story that we find in Scripture in Matthew chapter 17. You can go look this up when we're done. The father of the epileptic child, again, that's Matthew 17, if you wanted to write it down. The father says, I believe, help me in my unbelief. Tom's version, I ain't never prayed before, but sometimes the most sacred prayers come from those who never learned the rules of prayer. So let's look at his prayer. You don't owe me nothing, Lord. And as far as I know, I don't owe nothing to you. Hey, this is honest. This is real. It's not pious, but it's holy. And then he said, I've always thought that praying is the same as begging, Lord. And I don't take no charity. Pride and pain sit across the table like two old drinking buddies who don't talk much anymore, but neither's willing to leave first. He's not rejecting God. He's confessing that grace scares him. Why? Because grace means surrender. And surrender means someone else loving you and you letting them. But right now, Lord, with my back to the wall, hey, that's the moment. That's the altar call. And it ain't something that happens just around white steeple chapels. You know what? Sometimes it happens in dusty alleys in Abilene. Then Tom remembers nearly getting hung in Fort Smith. Judge Parker's sentence wasn't just legal. It was spiritual. And the preacher who came to save him left too soon. This is what happens when we preach at people instead of with them. He took the preacher hostage with a homemade blade to his throat, but what he really wanted was to cut the feeling of being abandoned by every promise of hope he's ever had in his life. Finally, he says, I've had some help from you, Lord, and the devil himself, well, it's been strictly touch and go. Now that's theology, real theology, because most of us, we live right there in the tension between light and shadow, trying to survive the day. Who in the hell am I talking to? There ain't no one here but me, Tom says, and yet he prayed. And maybe that's the whole gospel. The grace still listens when you don't even know if anyone's on the other end of the line. Now let me say this plain, just in case no one's ever told you. Your prayer doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to sound like something that's in the book of Psalms. It can be unfinished, ungrammatically correct, unchurchy. In fact, let me tell you something, friend. The more broken it is, the more heaven leans in. And you don't have to get cleaned up before you speak. You can stammer. You can whisper. You can yell. You know what? You can even cuss. Because God ain't delicate. He can handle your grief, your rage, your crack theology, because he loves you enough to take it. And sometimes the holiest thing we can say is, I don't know what I'm doing, but at least I'm still here. And God, in his mercy, still calls that prayer. So don't wait till your faith is polished. Speak while it's still trembling. because grace listens better than we speak. It doesn't need to be fancy. It just needs to be true. So, may you speak, even if it sounds more like spit than scripture. May you pray, even if you ain't sure it's counting. And may you find that when all your shells are spent, there is still a whisper of grace waiting in the silence. Now look, I want this to be clear. You might not have your theology all sorted out. You might not even believe prayer works. But if you've ever muttered something to the sky with your back to the wall and no shells left in the chamber, congratulations. You've prayed. Just like Tom. Just like that father in Matthew whose faith cracked open in the shape of a question. God ain't waiting on polished words. He's listening for honest ones. And I reckon grace has better ears than doctrine ever did. So speak, even if your voice trembles. Say it, even if you're not sure who's listening, because mercy shows up in alleys, in barrooms, in outlaw ballads, and tonight, maybe even in you. This has been the Semi-Seminarian. May your next prayer be raw. May your next breath be grace. And may the static still carry the gospel your way. I'll see you next time. Let's see it.